Now I'm plugged. Praise the Lord. Amen. You know what? I always do things different. I'm going to go in the Word right away. And after that, we're going to sit down, relax, enjoy one another. I do believe the Lord is with us. I do believe God is with us tonight, today. And let's go and turn in Philippians 3, 12, 14. I'm happy. I am happy. I have something in my heart that makes me happy. And I just believe you have the same thing in your heart that will make you happy. Amen? Philippians 3, 12 to 14. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Verse 13, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing, and I just want to attract your attention, but this one thing I do, forgetting the things or those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Verse 14, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Amen. In verse Luke 9:62, I just will read it. Don't need to turn. And Jesus said unto him, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Let's pray. Father, I stand before your people, but first of all, I stand before you. I am certain of you, O God. I know that you are here. I know that you are with us, and I know that you want to bless us. My desire is to encourage, Lord, and your desire is to encourage, Lord, people. And Father, I just want to be part of this plan you have, Lord, for each and every one of us. Make this day a special day, O God, that we may just take decision, Lord, to better serve you and to enter in that place you have proved to each and every one of us that it exists. Let us enter in and enjoy your presence. Let us apply token in our life and just go forward, Lord God, in order to see what you have in storage for us. May you be with us now. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. God is so good. God is so good. And Brother Tom would say all the time. And you know, I'm here as a man. I'm as your brother and as a minister of the gospel. And you know, ministers are often guilty of so much, you know. And there's one thing that people try to make ministers guilty of. You don't feed my soul. And speaking with a brother yesterday, and I saw a pattern into this message where people are expecting the ministers to feed them. And a lot of people leave the church, oh, the ministry doesn't feed me, and they leave the church, go somewhere else, and put their confidence in a man. And you know what, if you put your confidence in a man, you'll be disappointed. Because no man that can feed you. You know, I'm responsible to bring the word and to preach it. And you know what? Where you will be fed, it's where during the week you have fed your soul, you have entered into his presence, you have enjoyed the goodness of the Lord, and when you come to church, yes, I heard that. That touched my heart. That is, you know what? It is an agreement with God, seeing that God is doing something, and the ministry is just there, and it confirms what you have read and what you have fed during the week. That's what it is. You know, don't expect me to feed you. I won't feed you. I'm just going to say what God put in my heart. The feeding is something that you do personally with God in his presence. It is you with God alone. It is you falling in love with God again and again. God is waiting for you to fall in love with him. And there's all kind of stuff that happened in our life that bless our soul and really show us that God is still caring about us. He loves us and He loves you. And He wants you to be so sensitive of what He's doing, because He's doing all kind of stuff. It is us, just us, to see what's happening around us and to be thankful and reminding ourselves, God did this. Oh, God did that. And God, and you just encourage one another by saying something that bless your heart. Where's that little Lincoln? Hi, boy. I haven't seen him yet. Simon the net. But God bless me with a boy. God bless you with a boy. Bless you both. Six girls and a boy. Yeah. You know, I had a boy first, Josh, and after that, girls, 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 10 times. I said, God, did you give me a boy? He did. Praise God. But you know what? The feeding is our duty. It is our duty to go into that place and receive from God what He has in storage. And the minister comes and gives you something that encourages and just encourages you to go deeper into that place. Because it is what it is all about. It is what it's a story of love. Loving God, nothing else but loving God and knowing He loves you. He cares about you, and He's waiting patiently. He's a gentleman. He will not force Himself on you. He is waiting for you to just go and have that simple faith, believing that when you go, He's going to meet you. Yes. God is gracious. He is patient, and He's loving us so much. He will do all kind of stuff. You know, you have heard, my wife is not here. I wish she was, but she broke her arm or wrist. And she stayed back because she does some physiotherapy. But you know, I have a little testimony. You don't mind a little testimony? I gave it to some people. Big people heard of it a little bit. But you know, we were in Minnesota and we were playing volleyball. Not a real game, but we were in a little court and we were playing with Sister Laura and her daughter because she's homeschooling. And my wife just kind of got tangled in her skirt, I guess. And she fell, and she fell like this with her arm like this, and her wrist was broken. And, you know, we went to the hospital, and they took her x-ray, and the guy said, oh, are you Mennonite? Are you, you know, because there's a skirt and everything. No, I'm a full gospel believer. I believe in the truth, the Bible. Oh, that's good. He said, I'm a Baptist, you know, it's just, thank you, Lord. Long hair, long skirt, Mennonite, you know. Some kind of different people. But we are different. You know, sometimes people forgot about that. But I was just trying to play a trick on my wife. And it was my first wife. My first wife had really long hair. And I was just behind two girls. And she was in front. And the two girls were talking. But I was just trying to just play a trick on my wife. But I listened to those two girls. And said, you see that girl in front? And I could hear them. She said, look at her well. She's a Christian. Because look at her dress, the way she's dressed, and the way she's a Christian. You know, we are different. Thank you, Lord, for the difference. But anyway, the guy looked at the x-ray and said, oh, girl, you are into some surgery. And he really kind of pressed on saying, you're going to have surgery, probably need surgery. Bolts, and you know when you think about surgery, bolts in your arm. And she's a nurse. She knows about all those things. And she became a little nervous. But we had prayed all the way there. You know when things happen sometimes? When you're under pressure, when you are under desperation, you cry out to God. Make it special. Let us see a miracle through that. Because even when it happens, let us see the purpose of that, Lord. Let me see why that happened. There's a reason. Let me see exactly why it happened. Sometimes we don't think, oh, why does it happen to me? But anyway, she went to see the doctor, and we were in Minnesota, and the insurance things took care of it. They were good to us. But, you know, and we see the doctor, and the doctor looked at the x-ray and said, let me do something for you. She froze the thing and her wrist, and she put a device, and she put her, attached her like that. She looked like she was to be beaten. But anyway, they put some weight here, and at first 2 pounds, 3 pounds, 6 pounds, 7 pounds for an hour. And after that, she took her arm, and she worked on it, But my wife said it didn't even hurt because she was frozen. But you know what? She said, I'm happy with that. I'll take an x-ray and I'll let you go and go see the orthopedist. And she took an x-ray and she went on and she said, yep. And she put a temporary cast, and she said, go ahead with that. And we left, and you know, we took off the next day to go back to Quebec. We had quite a bit of a drive, and we stopped and slept in Sault Ste. Marie. And after, in the morning, we were just praying in the car, and we were going out of town, and Cynthia was just praying, and she's saying, you know, Lord, I said, it bothers me. I'm worried. I'm worrying. It just bothers me. Just help me to have some peace about this whole situation. And, you know, she said, if there's one thing, I don't want to ask a sign. But you know what? God loves us to ask for signs. But she said, I'm going to ask, and she was shy. I'm going to ask a sign, Lord. If I can have perfect peace about this whole situation, allow me to see some wild life. Allow me to see a moose or a bear. And I'll know that everything is under your control. Brothers and sisters, within a minute, there was a bear in the front of me. And I told Cynthia, I said, look at the big dog. She said, it's not a dog, it's a bear. And I had to stop because the bear was right there in front. He went on the side. She put the window down. And the bear just stood on his back legs, looked at her right in the face, like say, you heard what you asked? There you are. God knew there was to be a bear. God knew that she was to ask that. God knows all things. But he wants you to be appreciative of those things and not take it lightly. And I look at her. Are you going to be at peace now? And everything she's worrying, remember the bear. Remember the bear, because she's still a worrier. You know, she worries about things. No, remember the bear, because she was with her, and, you know, God knows. And I was asking, God, let me see the reason of that. Let me see why it happened. And, you know, because there's a purpose in that. And we got to see the orthopedist, got back home, and the orthopedist said, boy, she did a good job in Minnesota. You won't need any surgery. I said, praise the Lord.
Remember the bear.
And God knows. And I, you know what? God opened a door for the surgeon. The guy, not the surgeon, but the doctor, the orthopedist. And I started to testify to him. And my wife was there with her arm, said, and me? You know, when you start to testify. And the guy was interested. And I told him, I said, you know what? Because he's also a surgeon, because he does do this surgery. And he said, I do things with a camera, because they are student that watch what he's doing. And I look at him, I said, you know what? You can do your best, put boats and all of that, but you know that the healing is not you. He said, yes, I do know. I know the healing is God. And I said, and I gave him a testimony. And I don't know if I ever gave it to you guys, but I'm going to give it to you. Because I felt led to give it to him, because he's an orthopedist. And I felt like, you know, if I'm going to give it to him, and he's going to do or say or think whatsoever he wants. And I gave him some part. I didn't give him everything, but I'll give you a little more. That's the testimony, which is more complete for the same price. God is good. Do you love him? I just started to tell him. I said, you know, when I was a young believer, young Christian, I was just a brand new Christian, 19 years old, and you might have heard of it before. If you heard of it, forgive me. It's going to be the same price. But I was telling him, I was a young man, I was 19 years old, and just come to Christ, and I was in the Abbaye. There's an Abbaye in Quebec, where a place where there's monk, and you know what's a monk? You know those guys that look at, they really look sad, and they make the quiet, you know, they are quiet in that place. You go in that place, and I went there to fast and pray. And because it's very quiet, they don't talk. They just promise to not talk. I don't know. They just like, they walk like that. They have the thing on their head, you know, the brown. They are like a robe. But anyway, I was there for 3 days, and I said, I went out to walk. It was fall, and I went to walk, and I had a T-shirt, and very not dressed warm, because it was pretty warm with the sun. And I look at the woods, and, you know, I love the woods. Martin knows I love the woods. And I said, you know, I think I'm going to walk in the woods. I'm not going to get lost. I know the woods. And if I get lost, I know there's a lake down there, and I just will run to the lake, and I will come back. You know, and something tells me, said, are you sure you want to go there? And I know it was the Lord. First of all, I was weak. I had been fasting for 3 days. And second, I was not dressed well. And it was about 3 o'clock. And I didn't realize that at four and a half in that time of the year, it was because at that time, 40 years ago, we had an hour earlier. But it was, you know, well, I know the woods, you know. And I entered a wood. And after a while, I said, okay, where am I at? I was lost. And it was like dirty, like swampy. And it was a beautiful place for deer. But I didn't have any weapon. But anyway, I was there. And I thought, okay, I better run to the lake. It's getting dark. It's getting cold. And I'm lost. And when you have that feeling that you're lost, there's something, there's kind of a little panic that takes place. And, you know, and I knew I had to go run. I start to run down the hill. And as I was running, I twist my ankle. And that little ball on the right side touched all the way down in our... And I just came back, and I remember, oh, I fell on the ground, and I cried. I was crying. I was saying, God, how will I get out? And I start to go on my knees and my hands toward the lake, but the lake was about 5 kilometers away. On your knees and hands, I start to realize, I'm going to sleep in the woods. I'm going to sleep in the woods tonight. But I said, God, I don't want to sleep in the woods. It's going to get cold. It was already cold. My T-shirt, no food for 3 days. I said, I have to get out of here. And I said, God. And I was crying. I said, God, send me somebody. Send me something. Just do something for me because I'm going to sleep here. And I was crying. And I asked God, please, I said, do something for me. And I start to hear a rumbling. And it just got stronger. And it started, and I at one point said, what's that? God, please, I need help. And I hear, it's a motor. And it's getting stronger and stronger. Brother and sister, I was at one spot, never moved. And you know what? The guy said, what are you doing there? The guy was with the 4x4 lost. He said, what are you doing there? Because he has no roof. I said, I'm lost. He said, no, I am lost. No, you're not lost. You are not lost. Yes, I was. You're not lost. I was lost. God sent you to me. What are you talking about, God? I don't believe in God. He said, no, I don't care. God sent you to me. I was lost. He wasn't. But he said, I've been trying to turn around. I didn't find any places to turn around. I had to go because it was so tight. He said, I was needing help. And the guy just mumbled all the way to, I'm in the car. It was trying to find a place to get around. And he brought me back to the Abai. I didn't have to walk on my knees. I didn't have to sleep there. Got inside the things, the Abai. Do we say Abai? Abi? Abi. Yeah, that's my French. The Abi. Abi? Abi. Abi. Okay, and I got inside, and I went to the, there's a monk that just welcome you when you get in. Yeah, just welcome. And I went there, said, I just, like this, could not walk, could not put my foot. I show him my foot, and my foot was red, yellow, blue already. And I could not see the balls each side. You know those balls? The ankle. I could not see it. It was like whoosh, one piece. And I showed it to him. I said, look at that. Oh, he said, you're in for a long run. He said, I have crutches for you. He gave me crutches. And I went all the way to my room. And in my room, there was a little bed, a little table, a little sink. And I lay down. And I lay down on the little bed, and I was praying. And I kept fasting. I was praying. And I was a brand new Christian. I had just saw this message, but I didn't understand it. And I remember being in my bed, little bed there, and my Bible was right by the windows. And my Bible started to turn. My pages turned. And I was anointed. There was an anointing. I walked, and I just went there. I look at the Bible. And it was in the seventh church ages, like in the Revelation. And I start to look and say, God, They talk about seven church ages and they talk about those things, but I don't understand. I didn't understand yet. I was a brand new Christian. And the Lord spoke to my heart and said, you don't understand it, but believe it. You don't understand it, but believe it. I said, okay. Okay, Lord. And I went back to lay down, but I make sure that my Bible was closed this time. Because I didn't understand what was going on. I could not understand. It was new. It was something that I knew God exists. I knew that He had been so good to me because I had seen Him protect me and angels and things happen. And you know, when you fall in love first, things happen. And sometimes you forget about those things. I don't want to forget. I talk about it. Hallelujah. I don't want to forget about it. But I went back to lay down and I hear my Bible, the pages. I hear the pages turn. And then I said, oh, I hear them. And it stopped. And I opened my eyes and got up and went back to my Bible. It was in the seventh seal. I said, God, I don't understand those seals. To me, it's mysteries. He said, you don't understand it, but believe it. This message, brothers and sisters, are the truth. This message is the truth. There's things in there to prepare us into another order. But anyway, I went back to bed and I laid down and an anointing came upon me and it was like, something touching me here, like that, softly. Josh liked to do, you know, somebody do that in here. And it touched me, and it went down, and it went on too. And I felt something like was working on my ankle. And it was like placing things back. And I felt like, oh, that feels good, huh? That feels good, huh? And now, I came out from that anointing, and I look at my foot, perfectly healed. And I jump out of bed. Hey, no more pain. Now, I'm telling that to the doctor. A few things I didn't say about the seal in the seven church ages, because he didn't understand those things. It would have not made sense now. I invited him for coffee. But you know, I'll give him more. But you know, you have to be wise. You have to be wise as a serpent. But I gave them that testimony. But now it is all about him seeing. He knows about this. And I was telling him that. Said, oh, that is that ligament and this and that. And he was telling me the medical term. Yeah. And I said, yeah, yeah. Wait for the end. And when I told him what happened, he said, that's a miracle. The doctor said, that's a miracle. I said, yes, sir. That's a miracle. Why those miracles happen to you? For you to speak about it, to put it in your mouth and help somebody to see something that will help them to go further and believe God. But I remember going downstairs and went with the crutches to the monk. Boy, he was loud for a guy that promised not to speak. I said, look what happened to me. And I show him my, he said, get back to your room, get your stuff and get out of here. It was too much for him. Catholic monk. It was too much for him. Get out of here. I said, I will. I'll get out of here. But you know what? God has proved himself once more. And I was able to give that testimony to that doctor. And the Lord showed me that was a purpose for your wife to have that to happen to her. Because that doctor, I'm not going to let him go. He said, I don't, even the last time we saw him, again, I testified to him. And he said himself, that was God. And again, he said himself, this is God. And even when he was to go to Vancouver to Tofino, and we were just coming back from there, and he said, you know what? And I told him, I said, when you walk in nature, the only thing you can see all around you, you know what it is? He said, yes, it's God. It's beautiful. We are so blessed. And you know, you don't know. Things happen. Things happen. And you have to be sensitive to those things. God knows. But every time my wife worries, said, remember the bear. Remember the bear. And you know, when that happened, and even last time we saw him, he said, I don't need to see you again, but I'd like to see you again. I love it. And I said, okay. And he said, he gave us another appointment after the 6 weeks of her physiotherapy. He said, I'd like to see you again. Because you know, she had her hands like that for 6 weeks. And when they took off the cast, at first she was with a cast from here to here, like this. And about 3 weeks ago, they put it from here to here. And boy, when it came out, her hands was like this. And she was trying to raise it, and she could not even move it. But remember the bear. Everything is under control. And it's where we have our rest. We have our rest in a God that is more than able to do miracle. He did that for my legs in order for me to increase, have more faith, and to believe that God is doing things, still doing things, and He's able to do things. And if He did it then, He can do it again. And things happen for a purpose. And he knew one thing, that I would not keep that for myself. I would share it with people. And it's what He wants. If you share your blessing with people, He's going to give you more blessing. But He's waiting for you to share it. You to say, you to speak out what God does in your life. And you'll have more of God. Amen. Let's go back to our verses here. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. You know the problem with us, brothers and sisters? We are holding so tight to the past. We let things come and bother us from our past. The blessing we have, we should put Him in front of us. Because they are part of our testimony. All the way through, God was telling Israel, remember what I have done. And you remember what I have done in Egypt. Remember. And speak about it. Tell your generation to generation. Tell it. Speak about it. Open your heart and just don't forget. Don't let it go by one day without talking about it. Because this is me doing something for you. But He said, all things which are negative, put it behind. Don't let that or these things come and just bother you. You know, if you were in court for a case or something that you were falsely accused, but it is so bad that you were in a place you should have not been, and you are accused of doing something you have not done, but you're facing death penalty. But because you were at the wrong place at the wrong moment, and you are just accused, I think first thing we would do as somebody accused of something that we have done or we have not done, we would search for a good attorney. We would search for the best. Boy, I need somebody that will help me out because I know I have not done that thing. Or maybe you have done something. But you know what? You will search for the best attorney because I also know that the judge you will face is a real, real nasty judge. He's a judge that will really be harsh on you. You are worried, and you want to make sure you have the best attorney to face that case. Because you don't want to face that case alone or with an attorney that will say, I don't know. You don't want that kind of attorney. I don't know what I should do. You don't want to have the guy that just start his business, Joe Blow attorney. I've been in business for 2 weeks. You don't want that guy. You want a guy that has experience and wants to do the best out of this case and prove you innocent or not deserving what they want to give you. Because sometimes it can be very nasty and bad. But think of it. Think of it. With God, the great judge who created all things by Himself, for Himself, has provided a body which came in this earth, on this earth, to pay a price you could not pay. And the judge of all eternity, the great I Am, the God that created all things for Himself, He said, I'm sending somebody to pay a price you could not pay. He's going to become your attorney. Now, Jesus Christ is your attorney saying, hey, to begin with, you haven't done nothing. You were caught in that. And I look at you as if you have done nothing. But He's not only the attorney, He's also the judge. And He's also the jury. Nothing can come against you. You are just in the right hand. And I didn't say hands. I say hand. Because the attorney, the judge, and the jury is the same one, the Lord Jesus Christ. The word is there to teach us, to exhort us, to bring us into a place where we can walk so close to Him, so in love with Him, that we can apply the token, the life of God Himself. Because the attorney, the judge, and the jury won't live in you.
He wants to have preeminence in you. He wants you to walk, that your hands be his hands, your eyes be his eyes. He won't look on things that you shouldn't. Because if you see, you'll see things. But if you see, you'll turn around. And if you're tempted to touch, you'll turn around. If you are tempted to walk somewhere, you'll walk somewhere else. Because you walk with his feet. You touch with his hand. You become his eyes. And you know what I found out lately? I said, God, and when I go in prayer, I said, God, I ask him, let me enter your heart. Let me enter your heart. That is the closest place you can be with God. Let me enter your heart. Let my heart beat at your rhythm. I want to be feeling what you feel. Let me see Gethsemane in its plain view. Let me see your glory, O God. Let me see that I may feel the pain you went through. That I may know that the love you have shown me, that I may have a revelation of what you have done for me at Calvary, that I may have such sensitivity, I may fall in love more and more with you, oh God. Let me see Calvary in its plain view. Let me see what you have done. Let me see your heart. Let me enter your heart, and I may love the people around me with your heart. That I may care about people with your heart. That I may exalt you. That I may give you back the praise you deserve with your heart. Because you cannot worship God without his spirit. You need to apply the token, knowing that the price has been paid. That there's no more guilt in you. You are free from sin. You are free. And you can worship him because you love him. He loves you. You have an understanding of what he has done and what he is doing. He is wanting that with each one of us. He's what the bride is needing to have to go out of here. And we're almost out of the door. There's no more time, guys. There's no more time. And you know what? God has been so patient. Because you're not fully in yet. Or we're not fully in yet. He's patient with us. But he wants us to understand those things with our heart. And not our heart, with his heart. That we may just enter into that place and become so efficient for his kingdom. Because it's what he wants. God wants a heart that is, says, Lord, that's it. The white flag is up. I am tired. I'm going to take a break, Lord. I am tired of self. I am tired of walking in the flesh. I am tired of this world. I am tired. I want more of you. More of you, oh God. Because I need more of you. I want to get out of here. You need to want to get out of here. You want to get out of here? You have to want to get out of here if you want to get out of here. Lord, let me see with your eyes. Luke 16, 15, 16. Just turn with me. Oh, do you love him? Luke 16. Verse 15, and he said unto them, ye are they which justify yourself before men. He's talking to the Pharisees. These Pharisees were justifying, oh, we pay the tithes of this and the this of the herbs, and we do this and we do that, and they do all kinds. They were religious. And remember, the religious people are those who will fight you guys. The religious people are those who will attack your personality, will attack your character. It's the religious people, because what they are, they don't love you. They love themselves. They hate you. They hate you for what you are. Because what you are, you're supposed to be, it's humility. You are supposed to be Christ walking on the earth. They hate him. They will hate you guys. And that was the Pharisees in verse 15. And he said unto them, ye are they which justify yourself before men. But God knoweth your hearts. For that which is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God. Now 16. The laws and prophets were until John. Since that time the kingdom of God is preached, and every man presseth into it. And it is easier for heaven and earth to pass than one title of the law to fail. It presses. And presses, it's to use force. It's to use force. It's a violence.
And you know what? It's a good violence. It's a positive violence. If you go into Hebrew and look at what is the meaning of it, it's a positive. It's you need to advance with force, to know deep in your heart, it is mine. This is my mountain. Give me my mountain. Caleb said, give me my mountain. It is your mountain. Zion is your mountain. It is Christ. It is your right to have him in his fullness. Give me Jesus Christ within my heart in its fullness. Let my heart beat according to his heart. It is my mountain. Give me my mountain, oh God. A violence, a positive aggressiveness. Press it. You press it. You press. What do you do with the olives? You press it to get the first, the best. When he said cold press, first cold press, it's the best. And all the nutrients is in it. And they did the same thing with Jesus. He was pressed in order for us to have freedom in this flesh. He was pressed into Calvary. Sometimes people forget about what he went through Gethsemane. Gethsemane is such a beautiful sight there. You think of it. Who among you ever sweat blood? Did you ever sweat blood? That condition to sweat blood is extreme agony. It is extreme anguish. It is, he knew he had to go, but his body, his flesh was there. So, if it's possible, let me pass by that. But it is, if it's possible. And he knew what was ahead for him. The God of all eternity had prepared a body to go through that crucifixion, that beating. But he knew that if he would go there, he would be separated from God. Jesus knew that he had to go all the way there as a man. As a man. Not as God, because God had nothing to do with sin. The price had to be paid. And he paid it in order for you to have freedom. And that freedom permit you to go inside his presence. Permit you to worship and adore him. We need a vision. We need to envision Gethsemane again and again and again. We need to envision what happened. Because we take it sometime for granted. Every day. Put your blessing before your eyes. Don't ever forget what he has done at Calvary. Be sensitive about it. Because he was sensitive, because he knew when he was there at Gethsemane. I do it because I have seen before the foundation of the world that a bride would come through. A bride would see what I have done for her. A bride will love me for what I have done for her. A bride, a people will love me and exalt me and give me praises for what I have done for her. A bride will recognize what I have done for her. The world would not. They enjoy their sin. But Father, help me to not enjoy my sin. Help me to hate it to the core. To see how ugly it is. To do anything that is contrary to your word. If I do it, let me catch myself right away. Because God said, I forgive you. Your past sin, your present, and your future. Because he knows we are in flesh. He knows we are tempted in all things. But he was God. He was tempted. He didn't fall. But he knows we are made of flesh. He understands us. But his love is greater than his condemnation. Because he said, you're free. And I forgave you for all that you have done. And all that you do. But take it. Go back to Calvary again and again. With positive aggressiveness. Press it into it. Every man presses into it. You want it more than anything else. In Matthew 11, from the day of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence. And the violent taketh by force. The violent. And again, in the Hebrew, it said those two verses are the two places that it talk about a positive aggressiveness. The violent. You have to be violent. With what? With this violent. Not to hear it like the priest and beating yourself, you know. I remember being a Catholic. I did that. I had a rope. Oh,
forgive me, Lord.
And I was beating myself. Boy, when I came to this truth, when I came to Christ realizing I didn't need to beat myself, He got the beating for me. But I remember, oh, Lord, forgive me. Oh, I was doing that. Can you imagine how stupid we were? Because of Catholic. They were teaching us those things. Stupid. Oh, God, I thank Thee for revelation. I thank Him for what He has shown us. Thank you, Lord. Turn with me in Romans 8. Before Romans 8, I would like to go to Galatians. You know what? I want to show you something here. And you have seen that, I'm sure, before. But I want to show you something here. And that blessed my heart not long ago, because just you go in the Word and you see things and you go back and you see it again and you go back and you see it with His eyes. And you realize, wow, that was good. That is so good. Because you get a better understanding as it goes. And if you have seen what I'm going to show you, thank God. If you haven't, thank God anyway. Okay? Galatians, we're going to read a little bit of Galatians 5, 19 to 21. I'll go together. Let's take it. Okay. Now, 5:19. Now, I want you to see. Now, the works, plural, of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulation, wrath, strife, sedition, heresy, envying, murder, drunkenness. There's a bunch, huh? Drunkenness, reviling, and such like. Of the which I tell you before, I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, we'll go in the next step. Now, but you know the fruit of the Spirit, there's 9, which is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, there's temperance, there's godliness, goodness, all these are long. But He said here, verse 22, but the fruit, there's no S. There's no S there. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. You know, in proper grammar, it should say, but the fruits of the Spirit, the fruits, but it says the fruit, no S, of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Now, what is the fruit of the Spirit? It is Jesus Christ living in us. It is the token applied in our life. It is an understanding of what happened at Calvary. Brother Branham was so simple in his way. And you know what? There's a lot of people that make Brother Branham being almost a god. Everything Brother Branham said, everything. And you know what? There's a session or season or a separation in this message, because there's people who will say, if you don't say everything that Brother Branham said, you're out of it. Everything Brother Branham said is thus saith the Lord. Brother Branham said himself, it's not everything I said that is thus saith the Lord. He said it himself. But you know what? The mysteries are there to prepare us. But he said, because there was a two-part ministry in Brother Branham. He said, I have a part of a prophet, and I have a part of do the work of an evangelist. He had two parts. And he was very conscious of those two parts. And people are forgetting sometimes what Brother Branham has done. He came, preach a seal. He said, that is straight from heaven to you. Because before the seventh seal, and even the seven church ages, Brother Branham, for four messages, he preached about the white horse with the rider, saying that it was Christ conquering. But when he came with the seven church ages and the seal, when he was open, he said, no, it is not Jesus Christ, it's the devil. Now, what is thus saith the Lord? You know, God. He said, even Brother Branham said, when I said, thus saith the Lord, it's thus saith the Lord. If I didn't say, thus saith the Lord, you know, I have to walk in a way where God is revealing to me to understand and what it is beautiful about this message. This message has to live in you. It is Christ in you. This message, the understanding is not big and complicated. It's Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's the message. That's the message. Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's the message. That is the message. The fact that he said something. Moses did mistake. David made mistakes. They are men of God. And God used these men. And they didn't record everything Moses said. But people are trying to put Brother Branham, and even Brother Branham said a story one time. It blew my mind. He went with Billy Paul down in Florida because they were doing things out there. They were saying Brother Branham was Jesus Christ. And Brother Branham was heartbroken. He said, "You are making me an antichrist." And he went there and preached so hard to these people, so hard against what they were doing. And as he was coming back with Billy Paul, it's Billy Paul that told me that story. And as he was coming back with Billy Paul, he told Billy Paul, he said, "Billy Paul, how do you think the service went?" Billy Paul said, "Oh, Dad, you gave them that. Oh, Dad, you really got them there. You really preach hard, and the boy did." And Brother Branham looked at him very, you know, "Billy Paul, we left that place. And these people say, look how humble he is. Truly, he is Jesus Christ." But that was wrong. He was truly, they had a spirit. And Brother Branham, God showed him, that spirit will have to ride all the way to the end. Why? To come and bother the bride. And to also bother the testimony of you people that walk with this message, but not with that understanding. Because you know what? They will try to make this message look like nothing. But you know, Brother Branham said, when it look like it is nothing, God will do something with us. Because people can say what they want. But we know what we have believed. We believe that God has sent a man in this age. And that man said, "Don't look on me. Don't look on me. Look on what was said. And look on what it does." And he, when he preached the token, he said, "You know what?" He said, "This is not of my normal ministry. I want to read it to you. I put it out." But he said, let me get it. He preached the token. And look what he said in the token. And now he said that in desperation. He preached the token in the morning. And he said at night, in desperation, the message desperation, he said this. And I want to share it with you. Oh, thank you, Lord. I just want to find the right place. Brother Branham said about the token, the message, the token. He said, "This morning, the message this morning was to me the highlight message of my entire ministry." He's saying it is the highlight. Highlight. You know what means highlight? It means that. Pretty highlight, huh? He said, "It is the highlight of my entire ministry. This morning, see, a highlight message of my entire ministry. Someday, I'll tell you how it come about. And I know that everything has worked for months and months and months up to that one message. Moving up to come to that place that was the capping of time of it." You see? And that was about the token. It is a capping of time of it. You see? And it's a stop there. I want to go and show you another one in that same message, desperation. You don't mind me sharing those things, huh? I just want to make sure that I get it. I want to give it to you guys. Just want to make sure that. Okay, I got it. Thank you, Lord. Okay, I got it. See, now, this again, it's in the message desperation about the token. He said, "Now, this morning, I told you, being not with you, I think we had another 2 or 3 hour message this morning, but I just got started and I thought I'd just carry that over for tonight. But it was just too tremendous." He's talking about a message he gave, which is a token. And I'm telling you, I listened it on my way down here. I've been reading it. I've been so blessed by this message. I encourage you, go back and read that. Go back. It's where I tell you, I cannot feed you. You have to go and feed and find those people, those diamonds, those riches that are in this message. He said, I don't know whether the people got it or not. He said, I don't know. I hope they do everywhere. And I hope there was some good tapes on it so it can be carried out to be known that I believe with all the message that I ever brought that absolute was ordained of God. That was absolute ordained of God. Outside of the course, the regular commission. Now, understand here. Outside of the course of the regular commission, because he had the commission, go do the work of an evangelist. But now he said, this message was a following up of the seventh seal. These things are to make the mystery of God simple to us. Make Christ simple to us. Christ in us. The mystery of God revealed in us. Complicated? Seventh seal complicated? He said, and I hope there was some good tape on it so it can be carried out to be known that I believe with all of the message that I ever brought that absolute was ordained of God, that absolutely was ordained of God, outside of the course, the regular commission like the seventh seal and things that was directly the word of God. That was directly the word of God. I'm talking about a message to preach. I believe that one was it. See, that the one that's needed to follow those seven seals. There is things that Brother Branham understand about his own ministry. He said, don't follow me. Follow Christ. And see what I have said that is according to the word. Our book is the Bible, but we would not understand the Bible without this message. We have to understand that things are said in an order to us to live this. But don't go the extreme. Stay in the middle of the road, because if you don't stay in the middle of the road, you become a fanatic. I want to be a fanatic for Christ Jesus for the right reason. I want to be a fanatic because I love Jesus. I love the Lord Jesus Christ with all of my heart. He lives in me. I want to be a fanatic for Him. Not for a quote. Or for all the quotes saying that it's all thus saith the Lord. I want to be fanatic for the Lord Jesus Christ to show me God within human flesh again. It is now the time where God wants to walk in human flesh again. It is what this message is producing. God walking on this earth again. And those who passed away before us cannot be perfected without you and me. They cannot be perfected without us. Why? Because we came to a place where the fullness of the mysteries of God has been revealed. And those mysteries are not complicated, brothers and sisters. Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. One God. Serpent seed has been understand. For us, it has been understand because it was preached in such a way that it was a heart, simple heart. God is looking for a simple heart. People in the world think that simple, to be simple is to be stupid. Let me be stupid for Christ. Let me be stupid for Christ. Because I know that what the world thinks is wise is not wise. And what the world thinks is stupid or dumb, it is not stupid. God knows what we need. He knows exactly the things we were needing. And we need more of Him more than ever. I'll give you some little quotes, if you don't mind. Here. I believe, it's in desperation. I believe that the reason we don't have dispersion is because it's a lack of love. It's a lack of love. You know what? I have been asking the Lord when I said, Lord, let me enter your heart. Let me love the way you have loved us. Let me be able to love my brothers and sisters in such a way that I will forget about myself. Thinking of Reverend Branham when he saw that man coming, was blind, he was in India, and he saw that man, right away his heart went for him. He thought of his dad. He thought of the people he knew, no shoes, and he put his foot beside that man. It was a big man. Put his foot beside, thinking, I'll give him my shoes. If I could give him my shoe. Now, a man comes for prayer, and the prophet is there, and his heart His heart goes out for that man. He loved that man. He loved that man and he cared. And he said, that man comes before me blind. I cannot do nothing, but God can do something. He had that faith that God was in control. He had applied in his life the token. He knew what God had paid, which is the price, for him to be free from sin. He had entered into that dimension where God was one with him. And he was able to see things. He had a calling that was different than ours. But yet, it's the same Christ. It's the same Christ that he was serving in us. But what really carried on his ministry, it was the love he had for people. And at one point in his ministry, he had lost the feeling for the people. He lost the feeling for the people. Depression. You know what? He was a man. He was a man. And he went through depression.
Brother Branham.
Yes. More than once. Because think of him wanting to commit suicide.
Brother Branham.
Yes, he did. And we know that. But he went under pressure. So much pressure. And he said himself, don't ever want my ministry. Don't ever want it. Because you don't know and understand the price that goes with it. He was with people. He start to see vision. What you have done wrong the other day. And he sees it. He was with Brother Bisco one time. And he was going down the road. And Brother Branham said he became very sturdy. Like very looking forward. And he said. And Brother Bisco said, what happened, Brother Branham? Oh, he said, you saw the car that was passed by? They're going to have a big accident and they're going to die. Imagine, he had to live with that continually in two worlds. You don't want that. It is a big responsibility. But it was for you and I. That whole things he went through, and he was willing to go through at one point, realizing it is for the people. It was a gift for us. I believe that the reason we don't have desperation is because it's a lack of love. Don't forget, everything that you ever love will be there. And you know what? When I think of it, it's a God, teach me again how to love. To love if his dog was there, if his horse was there, because he loved his dog and loved his horse. What about my dad? What about those who your children? Everyone that you will claim that you truly love with the love of God will be there. I don't know which part of the heaven. God has many places. The Bible said he has many places. He has a special place for the bride, right in his heart. Think of it. But God, you know, we are fast to put somebody in hell and fast to put somebody in there and there. You, who are we? Who are we? I believe that will come in. I believe it with all of my heart. That's your promise. And you know what? My Sarah, it's my promise. My Jessica Rose, it's my promise. He promised it to me. And I hold tight to it. He gave me. Because I consecrate that baby unto him. These babies, I consecrate them. I give it to God. You gave them to God. And God will give them back to you. I believe it with all of my heart. I will not doubt. You cannot doubt that. Oh, there's so much I would like to say, brother and sister. I don't want to be too long. Amen. Oh, time. There's no more time. Amen. There's no more time. Amen. He said, I have so much I want to tell you. Okay. One thing at a time. Okay. We're going to go in the token. He said, and it is so simple. It's where I want you to bring it to simplicity. Do you love simplicity? Amen. He said, it's the quote 349. He said, when we pray, then we must present the token. Lord, and he's making a drama. He said, Lord, I have obeyed you fully. I have repented of my sin. I feel that you have forgiven me. Oh, man, that is such a good feeling. When you realize that you're forgiven for all your wrong. I feel I am perfect in His sight. I feel it.
I've been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. The Spirit is upon me. Now I have need of certain things for your glory. For your glory. Nothing for our glory. Lord, I ask for it. It's mine now. It's mine now. Then there is something anchor back here. There's something anchor back here. Phew, phew, said it. It's yours. It's over. It's settled. I ask for this. I ask for it. I must have it. See? See? I want it for your glory. See? Well, that's it. Then he just give it to you. Then you know it's yours. That's the way it is. We apply the blood, believe it, that's all. So simple. That's what it is. You realize this token is Christ that died for you. You realize you're perfect because you applied this token. You accept the literal life of Jesus Christ coming back in you. Not the chemical blood. The blood of Christ Jesus that is himself, is life, the life that is in the blood. Then when you and the Word become one, every promise is yours. Glory to God. Every promise is yours. It's obey you. Have you caught that? Every promise is yours. It's obey you. Because when you have that token, you don't ask something that he doesn't give it to you or doesn't want you to ask. You ask according to his will. And it obeys you. That's the third pole, brother and sister. It obeys you. And that is where we must go, where we understand. Not asking for something foolish or without we need it, but something that will glorify him. That promise obey you because you become with the word, the spoken word. It obey you. A real servant of God, don't show off with it. Don't show off. We don't show off with those things. You wouldn't put your hands in the fire just to say, oh, see, I do it. I put my hands in the fire. I do it. Look, look. And these people doing in India, they walk on fire. Yee-haw. I wouldn't do it after them because it would be showing off. But he said, you wouldn't put your hands in the fire just to say, see, me do it. Oh, no, see. But if there was something in that fire, I need to get or reach for it, it'll obey me. See? See? That's right. You want to watch what you are doing. Now, we'll close with this. I have so much more, but brother, God knows. And you better really have the token shining. That isn't the token that he preached in 63. Not the first time. He preached it a little later on. He said, and you better really have the token shining. But the hour is here for the Exodus. Exodus? 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 How do you say it? Exodus. No, that's my French. And this time, we're going to a promised land. The promise of eternal life. This token shows that Jesus Christ, the Holy Ghost, shows that Jesus has met every requirement for us, that we are in our nature fallen Son of God, and we have no power within us, we have no life within us, we are a fallen race of people from Adam, but when we can display the token, that the Word and we become the same. Amen. That's it. The Word and you become the same. Show that Jesus Christ met the requirement for our sin, death, and has displayed his token within us. Oh, how simple it is. How simple it can be. You are condemned. We were all condemned. There's no way to save ourselves. And God sent us a token. He killed. Oh, that is kind of a... And when you think of it, put yourself in the stead of God. He killed his son at Calvary for us. Because he could have stopped that. But he killed his son at Calvary
Because somebody had to pay the price for us. And the life that was in that blood, when it was shed at Calvary, has come back to be a token upon us. God's everlasting, eternal token, its eternal life by the eternal God, and anything that had a beginning has an end. And everything had a beginning beside God. And everything had a beginning beside God. And God is the only form of eternal life there is. And when God places Holy Ghost in you, which is God, and when God places self, his self, within you, you're as eternal as God is. Because you're a part of him, because you become a son or a daughter of God, and you are displaying his word. Hallelujah! I feel religious. That's true. God identifies it himself. You've got eternal life, and that's God in you. And this word is God. This word is God. And that word lives and produces itself. Just exactly what God has ordained for this age. You have it. Amen. Just exactly what God has ordained for this age. You have it. Amen. The Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit being displayed. Yes, sir. What is it? The Holy Spirit. The word has been quickened to you by the Holy Spirit to vindicate this age. That you have passed from death unto life. And now you are his. Oh, because he is. We have the right to all that he has purchased for us. Every promise in the Bible is yours. It belongs to you when this token is upon you. And God has sealed you. You know, we could make these things or this message so complicated. But boy, I'm so happy this man didn't have any education. Not much, maybe a third grade or something like that. Because he brought it in such a simple way, simple words that children can understand. And people preaching this message, we can be lost in so much. But the end of it, it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. It's what he wants. Let's pray. Father, nothing I can do, O God, but you have done already everything we need. You are the ultimate sacrifice. And you have given to us that life in order to walk that straight and narrow way. Father, without your spirit, without your presence, without the token applied in our life, we could not have this word obey us, Lord. But Father, it obey your word, your own word within us, O God. Let us be so in love with you. Let us just enter your heart in order to become one. Let us forget the things of the past. Oh God, let us forget everything from the past. And looking forward to see what you have done for us. Looking forward to see the fullness of the life of Christ Jesus in us, O God. For you are looking for a bride that will walk in such a way, O God, that those who passed away before us may be perfected by us, Lord. Father, allow us to catch something that will help us to better serve you, Lord. For it is our desire to better serve you, Lord. Father, allow it, I pray, in the name of Jesus Christ. And again, I thank you, Lord, for all that you've done. Thank you, Lord God. Pray in the name of Jesus Christ. May God bless you.
Lord, with all my heart, I worship you. All I have within me, I give you praise. All that I adore is in you. Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my soul. I live for you alone. Every breath that I take, every moment I'm awake. Lord, have your way in me. Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my soul. I live for you alone. Every breath that I take, every moment I'm awake. Lord, have your way in me. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And you know the most amazing part about this all? I'm not giving the Lord my heart. He already has mine. Think about it. There. Anything we speak can happen. If I'm hurt, I'm struggling, I can get pulled out of that. If I break a leg, I break an arm, I can get healed like this. If I have a stroke, I can be healed like that. I have to just believe and have the faith. All right? Amen. Praise the Lord. We can do anything. Let's all stand and sing. I need you more than yesterday. I need you, Lord. Yes, Lord Jesus. More than words can say, I need you, Lord. Yes, Lord. Than ever before, I need you, Lord. I need you more. Oh, more than the air I breathe. Yes, Lord. More than this song I sing. Oh, more than the next heartbeat. I need you more than anything. And Lord, as the time goes by, I'll be by your side. 'Cause I never want to go back to my own life. I need. Yes, Lord. We need you more, Lord, than yesterday, Lord. I need you more right now, Lord Jesus. Not just more than yesterday, right now, this very second, Lord. Show me my steps in your word, Lord God. Show me how to get there. Because I can't do it on my own. I try. I fail. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord, to be like you. Lord, just let me relinquish control, Lord God. Take control. Praise your name, Lord.
More than yesterday, I need you, Lord.
Yes, Lord Jesus.
More than words can say.
Do you guys get it? I get it. It's pretty simple. It's not hard. It's not hard at all.
I need you more.
Yes, Lord.
Oh, more than the air I breathe. More than the song I sing. More than the next heartbeat. I need you more than anything. And Lord, as the time goes by, I'll be by your side. 'Cause I never want to go back to my old life. I need you more, more, more. So much more than yesterday. I need you, Lord. Yes, Lord Jesus. More than words can say, I need you more. Yes, Lord. Than ever before, I need you, Lord. I need you more. Praise your name, Lord God. It's so simple, Lord Jesus. We just need more of you, Lord God. Filling us up till we're overfull, Lord God. And so people can see you shining through us. Because if we're not overspilling, how are other people going to pick up the droplets? Simple. It's so simple. So we need to fill ourselves up, overflowing, so other people can see it. Do you get it? We need you more every day. Because right now, where I'm at, I'm not happy. I need more of you. I need to feel your heartbeat. I need to know you're speaking through me. Because I can't do this. It's not easy. It's not. This life is tough. It's tough. Praise your name. Hallelujah. Does anybody have a song? Does anybody have a song they want to sing? Brother James, where's Brother James? You have a song? Why do I have to be the one to close, right?
Oh, Jesus paid it all. Oh, to my crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. Oh, Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. Oh, Jesus paid it all, and all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, but he washed it white as snow.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for paying it all, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for coming down in such a sweet way in this service, Lord. Thank you for blessing us, Lord. Such great blessing, Lord. Thank you for forgiving us, Lord, and speaking to us, Lord. Lord, you spoke to our heart this morning, Lord. You came down and did something that no one else could do, Lord, but you fed us, Lord Jesus. And I thank you, Lord, for that. Bless my brother Lewick, Lord. Give him strength and rest, Lord. Bless him this week, Lord Jesus. May we go out rejoicing, Lord. May we go out shining as a light, Lord. Use us, Lord Jesus, this week, Lord. May it not be about us, Lord, but use us, Lord. Speak through us, Lord, I pray. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. You may be dismissed. We'll sing one more.